following presentation, Evolution or Revolution, the expectations of 4G services within higher UK education, was given by Elaine Garcia of Plymouth College of Art at Network Shop 42 in April 2014.
Unsafe. I always click just enable on that, which might give you a sign that I'm not a techie person. And listening to the talks earlier, I'm a little bit worried that you're incredibly techie and expecting me to say something very, very techie. I'm a little bit geeky, but just not very techie. So this is, as Mark said, introduction about the 4G trial that we took part in. It was in 2003. And we had 10 MiFi devices, which allow internet connections for up to 10 devices via the 4G network. So I'm going to talk a bit about 4G generally, and then I'm going to talk about, a bit about the experiences that we had. Oh, let me stop my timer. Okay, when I started thinking about this presentation, I don't know whether it's just me, but Kevin Bacon, whenever I think of 4G, all I think of is Kevin Bacon, and that has just driven me mental. Yeah, I think he's following me. So before I can move on, I had to put the Kevin Bacon thing to rest. So there is a link between me and Kevin Bacon, which I will come back to at the end. And if anyone can guess what that is, I will be amazed. But if you can, we'll come back to that right at the very end. How do we get to where we are? Well, when I think about first having telephones, I think about the 1960s and the hilarity that was caused by having party lines and sharing mobile connections. And if you believe the Pillow Talk, the film, that it was the Match.com of the day, and all you needed was a party line and you would find true love. I think that's, you can take that as you will from Hollywood. We then went into the 80s, suddenly phones were in the kitchen. You could have them wherever you wanted. And does everyone remember you got an ology? If you got an ology, you grew up, you got an ology. And then, of course, anyone remember the name of this book? Anyone remember? Fly Fishing by J.R. Hartley. There we go, there's a copy of the book. I can't actually see my notes very well. Then we got to a point where phones were suddenly no longer stuck in the house. You could have such gorgeous phones as this one. Not a status symbol, you understand, but a business essential. And that was in the late 1980s. We then moved on to people carrying around breeze blocks, or mobile phones, of course. To what we've got today, which is looking very, very different. Where are we today? In reality, we've moved pretty quickly in 25 years of mobile phone usage. To put it in context, in 2012, there was 18 times more mobile internet traffic than the size of global internet traffic in the year 2000. And I don't know about you, but the New Year's Eve in the year 1999, I was very worried about the Y2K bug. So imagine the hysteria there would be now if that happened. When we started this 4G trial was the number of countries that already had 4G. Does anybody know, and this is a bit random, what the fastest country in the world is to have 4G?
Korea.
Oh, very close. Korea is 6th. 6th at 16.4 meg.
Singapore?
I'm on Sweden.
Sweden! Who said Sweden? I heard Sweden. Well done. Sweden's got 22 meg. And EE are predicting that that's what we're going to have in the UK very soon. At the moment, it's averaging about 12. But when you look at the number of countries that have had 4G before us, we've been pretty slow off the uptake, particularly when you think that we're one of the highest users of smartphones in the world. And it took me ages to get all those flags. And there were two that didn't actually exist as countries, Greenland and Puerto Rico. So I had to find them, but got there in the end. In 2013, mobile traffic was 14.5 times more mobile traffic was generated by 4G phones than by 3G, which gives an indication of the sort of thing that's happening with 4G. It's really making a difference. So there are benefits to 4G. Three clear benefits are identified. Higher bandwidth, obviously, lower latency, and improved spectrum efficiency. And I learned lots about spectrum efficiency, which I'm not going to bore you with. And it might be wrong, so I'm really not going to go into that. So the speeds of 4G, this is a predicted example of how it's going to change. If you look at, I thought, poor little 2G down there. We used to all be so pleased to have that. And now it's kind of 92K. So 14 meg in 2018, but you are saying that's going to be higher. So a lot faster. And it's not surprising, therefore, that 4G is predicted to do big things. They're predicting that you can do things that you couldn't do before. There might be products that didn't exist before, and services are going to be new. There's also a lot of talk when you read about 4G replacing broadband connections at home. So instead of us all having a home broadband connection and a 4G connection, you just have one that you use wherever you are. The other thing, oh, this one is a classic. 4G shouldn't just be thought of as something that's changing mobiles. It's changing the internet, people. It's changing everything. So on the basis of that, I would say, viva la revolution, here comes 4G, watch out. But there's always a but with these things, always a but. And it's not really quite as simple as that, because this is all reported and theoretical and all of those sorts of things. In tests that have been performed by The Guardian and The Times and The Telegraph, people like that, they say no task actually can be performed better by 4G than it can be by 3G. The frustrations that you currently have on the train are still going to exist with 4G at the moment and are likely to remain there for quite a while yet. And I think there's one more. I don't know. So for the moment, 4G isn't living up to its promises, but it's not been rolled out across the country yet either. So what will all of this mean for education? If we just go along with this for the moment, what will it mean for education? So it's got a huge potential. First one, for mobile learning. What this can now do is mean that learning can be actually truly situated. We can now be doing things outside that we've been doing inside. There's no longer a need to split theory and practice. Practice and theory can be linked together in whichever location you want it to be in. Mobile learning also can change teaching and learning. You can think about new models, new ways of doing things. And as a result, we'll have new practices. So that's mobile learning. And I think the likelihood, I live in the southwest near Dartmoor, the likelihood of getting an internet connection there in that photo, I don't think it's really going to happen, but that's the promises. The other one, teachers are no longer tied to the classroom. It means that they can be contactable 24/7, which I'm sure they'll love. But it also means that they can do things not necessarily in the classroom. They can work on the train, they can work at home, they can do things in different locations. And that brings on the next one, commuting. I was surprised to read that the UK has some of the longest commuting times in the world. 77 minutes is the average commute to work. And at the moment, that can be considered dead time. What 4G could allow us to do is to use that productively. And we've had, anecdotally, a little bit of internet downtime in our institution lately. And we find that now, if you don't have the internet, you're kind of a bit stuck with what do you do. Whereas before you would have just gotten on with something else, everything relies on the internet now. So working without it becomes quite difficult when you try to do that. And then the very last one, distance learning. The idea is that 4G will reach 98% of the country within 3 years, by 2017. And part of the spectrum auction was that it will be across 98% of the country. Now that doesn't say whether it's population or area, but the idea will be that in remote and rural areas where before you haven't had good connections, now you'll have great connection and be able to do some of these distance learning models that we've got with video, with flipped classrooms, things like that, that before haven't been available. So, we have these devices. And we have 10 of them, 6 months. What this is Plymouth College of Art. This was our summer show, it was circus theme. That's our new building there, it's had a cladding around it, looks much better. We're in Plymouth in the southwest, as I said, and if you look at this, at the time we did the trial, and Janet were very, very nice to us and took a bit of a bid on us, Because if you don't know Plymouth's there, and you'll notice where the yellow dots are, we weren't actually in a 4G area. But what I proposed was actually that we're never in these new technology areas. We're always the last to get new technology. And actually, this would give us an opportunity to be able to trial this where we would, normally wouldn't. If I went to my line manager and said, yeah, I'd like to buy some 4G devices, he'd say, well, we're not in a 4G area. Why on earth would we buy those? Whereas this allowed us an opportunity to actually trial them. The other thing to mention, Cornwall, that way, was a test area for 4G. So whilst we didn't have it in Plymouth, it was in Cornwall. So we gave out these devices and we asked for feedback, quite mixed feedback. Oh, this was a little journey I took. Now, I thought this was interesting looking back on it. This was last June. But if you look at the dates, it looked like it took me 2 days to get from Plymouth to London, which actually at the moment, the Dawlish Railway, is about how long it takes. I was sitting in my office using Wi-Fi, 9:03, and I was getting just under 51 meg. The broadband connection, I then plugged my laptop in, I got about 63, look back. 3G, 3, that's what I got, so a bit less fast. I then went to London on the train, I tried the 4G in the new location, and I got 14, which was higher than I thought it was would be. The Wi-Fi was just under 13, and 3G, 0.89. Disappointing. Trouble is, once you get 14, you're then very disappointed by the other speeds that you get. So that goes to show that actually the speeds are there and they are real. The feedback that we got from academic staff I'm going to go through. So in terms of mobile learning, there was a real mix amongst the staff. A lot of people seem to think if Wi-Fi was there, why would they use 4G? It's a fair point, I think. Until 4G gets faster, and I think it will get faster, why would you do that? I'll come to another point in a minute. But other people could really see the potential that anything you do indoors now, you could do outdoors, and it could really change teaching and learning. Somebody else, again, talked about the outdoor classroom. Field trips were mentioned, and a range of environments having hands-on experience. So people could see the potential. Nobody actually could use them, obviously, because we were in Plymouth. We now have 4G in Plymouth, and when the internet went down a little while ago, I bought a 4G device, and everyone has been raving about it ever since, and in the summer we're going to be arranging something outside for learning. So it's worth a show. It's worth trialling these things. In terms of, so next one, teachers not tied to their desk. I like the first one. Probably not a life-changing experience. Fair enough. But then if you look at the bottom one, I love my device and it has literally changed my life. My time is now used efficiently and effectively. My productivity has been increased. And I think that same person, when I took it away and had to send it back, sent me a really lovely email saying how much they'd appreciate being involved. They said, it's changed my children's life. And I'm thinking, how on earth has it changed your children's life? And she said, the thing is, every time I go home on the train, because we get a lot of people coming from quite far distances, and the train takes a long time to get to St. Ives and places like that. She said, when I'm on the train now, I can work all the way home. So when I get home, I can spend time with my family. And they're no longer saying, Mum, you're always working, why are you working? And so, although it does sound a little bit dramatic, and I think it was partly to try to keep the device, which I didn't let them, I could see what she was saying, but actually that commute now was a dead time. Which brings me on to the next one about commuting. Generally, they really liked it. The speed, the first time that someone used one on the train, I haven't used it yet, they went up to Birmingham, and they sent me an email saying, this is amazing. I couldn't believe that this is the speed you can get. And I don't know whether we just have very bad internet where we are, but really impressive speeds. Again, people that don't use the train regularly, but did use it, said it can make the journey far more productive. I love my device, and literally changed my life. I don't think I can or should go without it. But it's really nice to see that kind of result from a trial that we run. And I used to feel it was dead time, because you really need the internet to do your job. And especially when everything's in the cloud, you don't necessarily want to think about what you have to download before you start your journey. We're not used to doing that anymore. So that's really interesting about commuting. What was quite interesting, after I wrote the paper for the conference that we went to and things, South West Trains, Great Western, have now said they're going to get Wi-Fi on the trains in South West. So whether that will change the opinion of people, whether it's, and I think it's free. I think maybe if it wasn't free, that would be different. Distance learning. People could see the potential in distance learning, but again, it wasn't actually happening. They could see that it was going to be good, but I think getting those the people over that leap to, I can see the potential, but now I'm going to do something about it, are two different things, and partly because it's not been rolled out fully yet. So some of these remote and rural places aren't seeing the benefits yet. So, revolution or evolution? Well, promises are quite clearly of a revolution. And that's really exciting. And I'm slightly glib, but it is really exciting. And recently I upgraded my phone to 4G and I'm not on EE, so I don't have it in Plymouth, but I went to Birmingham and I was telling people when I spoke to them, wow, it sends a text in seconds. You know, and it's strange how excited you can get about something really small like that. But our experiences so far suggest it's an evolution, not a revolution. For it to be a revolution, people need to be on board. People need to change their practices. We need to get the people who are actually teaching for these sessions to try some of these things and do some of these things. So I think at the moment, it's an evolution, but we could see a revolution as these things get cheaper and as they develop and as it spreads across the whole country. But don't think I've forgotten about Kevin. So let's talk about Kevin. Anybody know what my link is to Kevin?
Dance.
Pardon?
Dancing.
Okay. Think of a dancer. I don't think thank you for volunteering an answer. Okay, I'm going to pretend that's my link is to Kevin. That's me. I drew that myself. I work at an art college. You can tell I'm not an artist. I work with a guy called Alan Lemin. He worked with a guy called Brian Blagden, apparently. I emailed him the other day, asked him this, very strange. And he works with me. Brian Blagden worked with Alex McKenzie. It will start to make sense in a moment. Alex McKenzie taught Charles Dance, and Charles Dance went to Plymouth College of Art, does say. And he worked with Brian Blagden. So Charles Dance has worked with James McAvoy, who works with Kevin Bacon. So therefore, are my 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, actually, there is 6 degrees of separation between myself and Kevin Bacon, which really surprised me when I actually did it. And this is such a phenomenon, I can't say that word, that Google have actually worked out the algorithm for this. So if you type Bacon number and any actor's name into Google, it will tell you the degrees of separation between them, which is very strange. These are my references. I apologise, I talk very quickly. And that's me if you want to get in contact with me. And 3 minutes left, so there we go.
Brilliant. I think, first of all, I should apologise to Elaine, but leaving her in Stygian darkness up here.
It was a little bit difficult.
The dimmer went a little bit far when I dimmed down. Does anyone quickly have any questions for Elaine?
I was just wondering, is there any indication that 4G is actually going to cover more areas than 3G? You talk about the bandwidth being better and stuff like that. For like 2-3 miles around my house, I have no 3G reception at all, only standard. At the university, I don't have any mobile reception at all in some places. Mm-hmm. So what's 4G going to get me? Is it going to give me better reception? Is it going to have better... can it get through walls and stuff?
This is where we get into the spectrum, as you see. I may have misinterpreted this, but my belief is that they've sold off, and if anyone knows anything about this, let me know. They've sold off the FM radio signals. They turned off FM radio now, and they're using those for 4G. So it means anywhere you used to be able to get FM radio is where they're going to be transmitting the 4G. So it should mean that if you've got an FM signal, you should now get 4G. Also, as part of Ofcom's sale and auction of the spectrums, they said that the coverage had to be of 98% of the population of the country. Whether that's population, because I think they've already got the really high percentage, but that is what they've said, so 98%, and the way that they've used the spectrums, hopefully we'll see it get rolled out eventually. But the timing of that and how it's going to happen, and whether it happens where they make money, or that's all part of the question. So yes, but who knows?
One last question. Anybody, anything else? No, we have one there.
Kind of following on from that theme, really.
buildings tend to be made of concrete and steel, which acts as a Faraday cage. I know at our university, to get a signal into a building, you've got to find an open window somewhere. Is there any sense that the providers are actually going to exploit Pico nodes more? I know I'm part of the Janet VoiceOver a long time ago, and we're looking at Pico nodes, actually bring in the mobile providers into our network somehow.
The long-term talk is that 4G is going to change things so substantially that we'll no longer see Wi-Fi, broadband, all of these things will just become one, and you'll seamlessly link between one and the other, even if you're on a call. So the idea is that all of these things will link up and become one. How that happens and when that happens, I think, is a huge question. And again, anecdotally, I was using the 4G quite happily in the building that I'm in, which is quite a new building. I then went up to college and tried to use it. I couldn't get a signal at all through the thick walls and various things that might be in the walls that you might not want to think about, really. So I think it will come eventually. Whether the different companies that have an interest in it can all get together and agree that. Because EE really got the advantage by going early. They went at risk, they went early. Vodafone and O2 have now joined up together and are sharing masts. But you've also got the whole mast question. You know, who wants these signals to be beaming out from inside their house? So lots of questions, I think, rather than answers.
Okay, thank you very much once again. I'll just add very briefly to the comments there. Janet is just in the process of kicking off some investigation into Pico cell, small cell technologies as a way of filling in hot spots. So it's useful to get some feedback that this is a good area for us to be looking at.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of Networkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.